Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have another amazing guest. This will be released after this particular production of Cats ends, but we are recording this today, just 1 week into the run, all the way from the other side of the world from where I am sitting today. We are very lucky to have this amazing regional production of Cats in Sydney, Australia at the Willoughby Theatre Company. And we have our Quaxo here today. So Sam Lariel Jones, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much.
I am excited because you actually told me about this so long ago that I was like, how do you already know that this production is like the casting must have happened ages before this, like it's so much faster and more, you know, ahead of what I'm used to hearing. So we're going to get to your production because I know you're a week in and you are literally going to embark on a two show day today after we hang up. But let's start with your Cats history. When was the first time you saw it? Was it the movie? Were you obsessed with it? Was it a tour?
It's interesting. I have quite a big history with Cats myself. I mean, I loved the original 98 film production, of course, as many Cats fans do. But I also actually had the opportunity to work with Jeffrey Garrett, the Skimbleshanks in that film production.
Wow.
I was about 12 years old, I was doing Oliver the musical with Cameron McIntosh, and he was our resident choreographer for that show. So I had the great opportunity working with Jeffrey Garrett, and it wasn't until we were actually touring the show in Singapore that he actually said, and told us kids that he was in that production, and all of us were like wide eyes amazed and were like, oh my God, we're working with like a famous person. This is amazing.
Wow. So you didn't know the whole time you've been working with him, you had no idea until
no clue
how a while. And wow, I guess he's in costume. He's in, you know, you're in the movie or not.
It's exactly.
Not, it's not like very clearly him.
That's it. And it wasn't until I went to watch it again that I looked at him closely in the film and was like, oh no, of course it's Jeff.
That's awesome. Okay. So this is, and you said this was like when you were 12 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so movies come out. When's the first time, did you get to see it on stage? Like, when's the first time you saw a production?
I've actually never seen
a live
production of Cats before.
Okay. So I find it interesting because, like, you know, I'm in New York, so there's obviously a lot of different ways to go catch a tour or different, you know, the Broadway revival and everything else. I know it went through Australia with this like tent tour, but that probably, I don't know the dates, like it was ages ago. And so it's like not something that you'd have been probably really young.
Yeah, the tent tour was before my time.
Yeah, okay.
As far as I'm aware, date-wise, I don't think at that time my family were sort of like really into going to see musicals. I've had friends that have done community theatre productions of it previously to me, But I'd never had the chance to actually go and watch them either. And then the most recent production with the our good old Street Tugger. I had heard of the change of Street Tugger, and I was like, oh, this is, I'm not liking the sound of this, and sort of kind of did a little bit of a boycott, just mainly because I just wasn't okay with that change myself, as I never actually saw that production.
That's okay. That's interesting. I forgot about, yeah, that one would have been in like 13, 14 probably time range for you. And yeah, it was very different. It was a different production. It had some changes for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know, it's never seen it. I think the other part too is like, I didn't fully comprehend how far away Australia and Sydney is from everything else in the world until I was in Singapore. And I was like, oh, I'll just go over to Sydney. And I was, that's still a 9-hour flight or 8-hour flight.
Yeah.
Like it's not like you're going to quickly just pop over to another country to see a production somewhere.
No.
It's what's in your hometown is kind of all you can see versus, you know, in the US you can hop on a quick plane for an hour and be in another city to see a tour.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Okay. So that is kind of fascinating. So now fast forward me to auditioning for this particular production. It is, when did this happen? It feels like it was 6+ months ago at least.
So we auditioned about 3 months ago now. But I had heard of the show happening at least 6 months ago. The company that is putting on the production, Willoughby Theatre Company, I had worked with them as a co-choreographer for a sort of cabaret style backwards Broadway show that we were putting on. My husband was the musical director for that production. It was during that run of that show that they'd announced that they were going to do Cats the next year. And I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't danced for about 7+ years. And so having quite a long break from doing any form of dance, and was like, you know what, I'm going to audition for this and I really want to do it whether I get a role or not. So.
Okay. Wow. So you had a 7-year break and then you're just like, I'm going to go into one of the hardest, most demanding dance shows out there and be ready.
Yep.
Okay. Talk to me through the audition process. Like, what's that like? Were you going for a certain cat? Was it a, you know, a big open call?
What they did was, after they'd released sort of the audition pack, they said, look, we're going to be having some choreography workshop days in the lead up to the auditions. Those will run over 2 days, 2 weeks prior to the auditions happening. And then they had their dance audition calls. There was one, I think there were about 2 dance audition calls. And you could sort of choose which night you were going to go for that. And it was a sort of big group dance. So throughout that workshop phase, we had actually learnt the audition dance all together in a group. And there was about, I'd say within the second workshop, there was probably about 50 or so people that had turned up and wanting to join the workshop and wanting to join the show, obviously. Went into the audition and did the full routine. And then there was, because there's a bit of tap in the show, also learned tap on the day of the audition and did that. And then we had our vocal calls on a separate day. Some people had the vocal calls the exact same day as the dance. And I opted in for that because I did not want to be puffed out when I'm trying to sing something to try and get me at least Monka Strap was one of my choices. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to sort of do my audition my vocal audition the next day, just so I've got a bit of space to breathe and sort of calm down from that dance call. So yeah, and then had the vocal call, and had some callback auditions, which was just over one night. I got called back for three roles, and I think I saw all three of them. To be honest, I probably wasn't as prepared as I probably should have been, which is why I ended up with the role of Quaxo. And it's quite funny. It wasn't until I was listening to your podcast and I heard one of your guests name the role of Quaxo, and I was like, who the hell is this Quaxo character? Yeah. I've never heard of him before.
So you will be only the second Quaxo episode that I've had that's devoted to Quaxo. And the first was Michael Kushner, who is an amazing photographer, has a podcast on our network, unbelievable guy, does multi-hyphenate, does just everything in theater. And he did in high school. And so I actually have some questions because I've read a lot about Quaxo now, because there is a lot of different versions of it. And a lot of times Quaxo is also part of, it's tied into, let me see if I have in my notes here, it's tied into another character. So sometimes it's part of, I believe, Mephistopheles. And so it's like, if you are going to do the Mephistopheles dance, there is a versions where your ensemble dance character is Quaxo or his name Quaxo, but it can be pulled. I want to get to the Quaxo stuff in a little bit though. I'm curious a little bit about that you get the role. And it is regional. So, you know, you're going to do 3.5-4 weeks almost worth of performances. I think we're 1 week in when we're recording this. And I'm wondering, like, tell me how much of a regional production do you think and focus on staging and the choreography and the dance number versus plot and all the different nuances of like the story?
You know what? It's very interesting. Obviously, on this podcast, you hear all of sort of like the professional performers talk about those three words that they get about their character and all these storylines of the plot and what it's actually all about and or maybe what it's not actually all about. And so it's a bit hard to sort of really understand. So, I mean, I think within regional or community theatre, I think you've got a bit more flexibility to sort of make the show something that you want it to be. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this or if anybody else listening is aware of this, but the Really Useful Group and the licensing recently changed the rules with the licensing of Cats, there's actually not meant to be any more replica productions of Cats. A lot of the times you'll get those replica productions and the choreographers will be lazy and they'll do the exact same choreography from the 1998 film production and which has happened quite a lot here in Australia. and they'll do the exact same set and everything. So that's sort of, they've changed that. And which is, I guess, is probably the reason as to why the new revival of Cats in New York is going to be very different, sure everyone's quite aware of. Ballroom version. I guess that gave our production team quite a lot of scope to figure out what they wanted Cats to look like. So there's been a lot of focus on the set design and on the way that we're actually presenting the show to the audience. Because we've got that flexibility, we can have new choreography that's a little bit different, or we can add in specialty stuff like aerials into the show. So there's a lot, there has been quite a lot of focus on that for sure.
Yeah. So what are the main, you know, as someone who knew the 98 movie well, what's the main differences that you've seen in your production? Is it some dance numbers? Is it some staging? Is it some, like, is there anything that would be a super fan is going to sit there and go, oh, that's really different, I noticed that, versus some like minor tweaks?
You know what? This production is something that you've never seen before. If anybody's really familiar with the 98 production, there is nothing similar to it, except maybe, I guess, the very, very heavy dry ice fog for the heavy side play.
All right. So I got to ask now, somebody, are they recording a version of this ever? Like, am I going to be able to see it on YouTube at some point?
I wish. Unfortunately, licensing does not allow us to do that.
Oh, no. We need a boot. I need a bootleg. I know I shouldn't be calling for that, but I hope someone, because this will be out, but it'll be over by the time this comes out. So yeah. I can't drive anybody and I can't quickly fly over to see you. But yeah, I love a tweak. I mean, my whole show is about changing the ending. So
yeah.
if they want to allow the licensing to make some adjustments. There's one way to not make it a copycat is to change the ending. This is great. So there's nothing like you've ever seen compared to the 98 movie.
Yeah. I think if you want to really compare everything, look, the costumes are very on point to mm-hmm. So think your normal unitards and cattails and makeup, and that's probably the closest thing that you'll get to the original production.
Okay, so it's I kind of love it. I mean, I'm now like thinking of all the different things that could be changed, but then at the same time, like, you know, you're a choreographer, I'm not. Like, I'm like, if you make major dance changes, I'm like, I'm having no idea what you change. It's still all going to be foreign to me, compared to like if you had a major plot point different, or you made a character totally, like, I think that's where you see every once in a while, like even the 2019 movie really changed the persona of Mephistopheles. And like, that was very noticeable.
Yeah.
Is there any of those? Like, is everyone kind of still fit that same vibe? Or is like, you know, is Tugger timid this time instead of the way Tugger normally is?
I think character choices, they're quite similar. Our director, sort of worked with the individual sort of lead characters per se, and said, hey, look, this in your song that you're singing, this is what you're singing about, and I want you to sort of as Tugger, I want you to be sort of a bit uptight, or I want you to have this sort of persona. So that was sort of those little bit of direction choices were obviously given to those characters one-on-one during their sort of staging. But sort of the rest of it was really quite interesting, because we've got a choreographer and a director. Obviously, Cats, as you know, is a dancer's show. So it really, mm-hmm. it is the choreographer's show at the end of the day. So the choreographer and the director really worked quite well together with trying to figure out what the show was actually going to sort of symbolize, and how these cats were going to actually sort of interact, and why are there cats that are singing and dancing at the audience. At the start of our rehearsal period, we were given a booklet that we were told to sort of print out ourselves. And we got this bit of a synopsis that I thought I might read to you here.
Please.
Because it's quite interesting. And it has gone into so much detail. Starting our rehearsal period, we were greeted with this: "Hello, Jellicle Cat. Welcome to the enchanting world of cats. As we begin rehearsals, we would like cast members to keep three important themes in mind as you prepare, rehearse, and embody your characters with the show. These themes are community, connection, and belonging. Community. In the world of cats, we find ourselves immersed in the vibrant and mysterious community of the Jellicle cats, community of unique characters with distinct personalities, talents, and stories waiting to be told. Community is at the heart of our journey. The Jellicle cats are not just a random assortment of fur and whiskers. They represent a unified tribe, a close-knit group that supports and uplifts one another. As we go through this process together, it is going to be important that we yield the power of unity and collaboration, demonstrating that just like the Jellicle cats, that we stand side by side, allowing our collective brilliances to shine even brighter than before. Belonging. In our production, the quest for belonging takes center stage. Your characters, each within their own desires and yearnings, seek acceptance and a place where they truly belong. It's our job to bring these journeys to life, invoking the raw emotions and vulnerability that comes with the search for our rightful place in the world. This is an opportunity to tap into your own experiences and empathize with these characters, allowing their yearning for belonging to become our own. Connection. But it's not just about the individual journeys. It's about forging deep connections with one another and our audience. Whether we're dancing, singing, or simply exchanging knowing looks, it's all about those magical connections between all of us. We all need to show the audience what true connections looks like. No words necessarily, just a flick of the tail, a playful wink, a turn of the head, a knowing look, and we'll have them feeling all the feels. And finally, the power of storytelling. Weaving this all together is the power of storytelling. Stories have always connected us, passed down through the ages, weaving cultures together and forging communities. In cats, we become those storytellers ourselves. Each cat shares their story, their culture, their journey, their history, and their secrets. And these are not mere introductions. They are the fabric of the show's collective identity. As we unleash the art of storytelling, we create a powerful bond with our audience, remind them that we are all part of a much bigger story that is life. So buckle up, kittens, get ready to pair, dance, and rock the stage like never before. Let's make cats a memory that lasts all nine lives.
Wow. That is amazing. It's fascinating to hear that, because it's like, so that was that written by your director and choreographer? Like that was their introduction?
Yeah, yeah, that was their introduction.
It's almost I love the idea of like, here's this overarching theme. Here's what we're going to do. We have to kind of have this as a way to tell the story, because we're not gonna be able to get into like all the nuances and the back and forth. We're not going to have 2 months to go through every single potential plot line. And so you get this like big kind of overarching theme and then let everyone else do the work from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's been, it's been the theme within our rehearsal process as well. We have been this one big community together, and we've all been sort of uplifting each other during the rehearsal process. If somebody is struggling with the choreography, we've all been there to help them. It's just been quite a beautiful process to be a part of.
Yeah, it gives you the flexibility to make some choices, like to truly act, but stay within this kind of overarching themes that you're given. I love that idea as a good way to kind of allow you to do some stuff, but also give you enough. It also is very clear as I was hearing it, the minute you start talking about the belonging section, I'm like, oh no, this is purely leading towards why we're going to pick Grizabella. So I was like, they're writing this in for me versus like, if I got to follow that theme, it's going to be real hard to argue against her.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back for more of The Wrong Cat Died.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. I want to hear about Klaxo because I want to know what they told you. And then I want to know like what they told you and what your version is. And then I can tell you a little bit about what I read.
Right. Okay. Well, you know what? As I said to you before, I had never heard of Klaxo before. I honestly was not told anything about who Klaxo is. And I had to make up who he was by myself. Originally when we started rehearsals, I was given the part to do the pas de deux dance with Victoria just before the invitation of the cats. About 2 weeks into our dance, starting our dance rehearsals, I actually injured myself. I gave myself plantar fasciitis. I sort of had to stop dancing and was eventually told, oh, it's going to take about 8 to 12 weeks for you to fully recover. And we did not have 8 to 12 weeks. So that sort of stopped my trajectory of that part of the dance. And that sort of cut me out of a few other dance numbers just so that I could stay safe. So I've always sort of kept in mind that Klaxo, even though he didn't end up having this dance with Victoria, he's sort of, he's got this love and infatuation for Victoria. She's that new cat who's just ready to be there for the Jellicle Ball. Throughout my process, I've sort of really tried to connect with her quite a lot on stage whenever I've been near her.
Okay. Is there, so here's what I've read. So I love that because it's not at all what I read. And that's what makes it fun. I think like there's, what I read about Klaxo is it was split between two different versions. One version is it's part of Mistopheles. The other version is that it's just an ensemble character. They want a different name for that particular character, and this is the piece. But there were a couple things that could have happened during that time. So one was there was a tap off with Jenny Anydots in a couple productions that Klaxo does. So it sounds like that's not happening in yours.
No.
Okay. It was the lead Beatle. A lead Beatle. I was like, read that. I'm sitting there going, like, there's like a tap, I was thinking, like, what is it? The like a Bring It On style tap number between you and Jenny Anydots. Okay, so that's not one of them. And then the other is just that there's some relation to dancing with Jemima in the back, who I think is now Syllabub in most cases.
Right.
But you is that not true either?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's. It's been quite interesting because I did my own sort of like research of Klaxo as well. And the main thing that I read was that he's either, I think, as you said, he's usually the lead bug. He is sometimes and sort of makeup plot wise, he's usually somewhat similar to Plato sometimes in his makeup plot, or I think it's quite possibly Admetus is sometimes his makeup plot. It has been hard to sort of actually figure out who he is.
But so I kind of wonder, as you know, this is not your first performance doing stuff. You've been a choreographer, you've performed. Is it easier or harder when you have a little, like, part of me is like, is this maybe a little easier because there is no expectation versus everyone has a thought of what Tugger's supposed to be like, or everyone has a thought of what Mustafa is supposed to be like. And if you don't meet their version that they were kind of going in thinking, it might be a little harder versus if there's not the thought of Quaxa. Like yeah, okay, I think I know which one this would look at if a lineup. But I'm not sure, is it a, you know, a kitten, or is it a, you know, a lead dancer, or are you doing a lifts, or like, so I think you can build the story yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, Quaxo, for anybody that's interested in doing any other regional productions, Quaxo has some really, really beautiful solo lines in the show, and which is sort of what made me sort of get sold on Quaxo as well, because he has that Jellicle Cats come out tonight, the Jellicle Cats come one, come all, that introduction before before going into Gumby. Yeah, it's a interesting role, and I'm really glad that I've had the opportunity to sort of bring him to life, and hopefully my friends and family who have come to watch me so far have noticed and have figured out who Quaxo is. I'm not sure though.
To be fair, I don't think most of them have any idea who any cat is, and
no,
you know, unless you're a fan, it's tough the first time you see it. What has been the relationship you've kind of built for Grizabella? Because like, there's obviously a major part of you have to sell yourself on her being the choice on stage. How did you get Quaxo's mind into like the, okay, I'm going to be willing to be, let her be our choice at this point?
You know what? I think, we've all made quite a collective decision, in the community of cats. So as Grizabella sings, memory, and she has that little breakdown moment and falls to her knees, all of the cats really start feeling for her straight away. And this is even before Jemima in our production, or Syllabub, even gets up and sings in between her vocals to her.
Mm.
And we all sort of get this sort of feeling of, oh my gosh, this cat is actually somebody that feels emotion. She's not this cat that should be left to her own devices, or should be sort of shunned for the rest of her life, because we've already done that as a community, and it's that redemption. In the end, I mean, I guess Old Jute does make that decision, but the cats as a collective also go, you know, she is worthy, and she does need to go up to the journey to the Heaviside layer.
Mm-hmm. Because on day one, you get handed a book and it's talking all about belonging. And you've been hammered that into your mind for all the weeks of auditions and rehearsals and everything, that you're like, all right, I get it. It's how we've set the stage here. Okay, let's do some rapid fire. I got to ask some questions about the show. So if you could go on for one night for any cat, whether male, female, vocal range, dance abilities, age, height, doesn't matter, who would you want to go on as?
You know what? I'm going to go for Bomb Ballerina.
Bomb Ballerina, yeah. Some cavity.
Yeah.
Such a fun song.
Yeah.
So, I do love that, because I do think it's always fun when it's like, I can't do any of them. So I'm like, it would be really fun to go do. Who are your favorite and least favorite characters? Like, which cats bug you and which cats do you love?
You know what? I really love Monkstrap. I mean, I guess that's probably because I see a little bit of myself in Monk. I've always loved the character of Muggerstrap. He's so demanding on stage, and really brings the show to what it needs to be. What cat do I dislike? It's really bad to say. I really don't like Gus.
Oh no. It's not good for the voting public here.
I'm sorry, Gus. I mean, look, it's that song is as beautiful as it can be. It is very boring for us cats on stage. We've got to really try and figure out what to do in the background and go, oh, okay, he's singing about Five for Fiddle, the Fiend of the Fell, whoever that is.
Your break from dancing?
I love the break from dancing, but it's quite taxing just to sit there and actually try and be interested in that song.
So here's what I'll say about this without risk of losing half my voters here. When I listen to the album, the Cats album, which I, you know, it's every once in a while, I'm just like, I'm gonna listen to some of this. There are certain songs where I'm like, I am absolutely gonna like hit replay on this a couple times. And there are some where I'm like, yeah, I'm okay just like passing over this. And I feel this with most musicals. There's a bunch where I'm like, there's one or two I can just happily skip over. And guess a song occasionally at times I'm just like, I'll be okay if I miss this one today.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's, I think that's kind of part of my reasoning, because when I used to watch the DVD of the 98 production over and over again, and Gus was the one song that the whole show, and I would skip past.
He was on his deathbed as a real person doing that
show. Wasn't until recently that I rewatched it and I didn't skip through, and I was like, oh god, this song is boring. And I completely forgot about it.
It was Sir John Mills, and Sir John Mills was very old when they did that. I don't know how they convinced him to be in that movie, because he was like almost fully blind. Like, that's why they had to like walk him out. I mean, he was very, very old for that particular part, and I don't think he lived that much longer after the show, after the movie. So it's like he was old to do a stage production of this. From a story arc, though, Gus gives a good argument, but we'll get there. Favorite song from the show? It's clearly not Gus.
No, it's definitely not Gus. Favorite song, you know what, I really love Pink Polycules.
That's not an answer I get very often.
It's interesting. It's in our production, Peaks and Pollicles is performed right after Gus the Theatre Cat. The Rumpus Cat is one of Gus's characters that he used to play. So us as cats, we've been told this story of the Rumpus Cat and the Peaks and the Pollicles many times over by Gus. In his many storytelling moments in the tribe. And so he's actually given us this storyline as to what the Rumpus Cat did. And so we're reenacting who the Rumpus Cat is and who the Peaks and the Pollicles are on stage. And so it's just so much fun to, I mean, it's an absolutely chaotic number for us, and that's why I love it, because none of us are focusing so much on the actual choreography. Yes, there is choreography in it, but we're not trying to be perfect in the choreography. We're not trying to have a complete perfect point or complete perfect line. It's very like we're running around on stage and being absolutely silly and stupid, and that's why I love it.
Okay. I was going to say, do you love it because of the song, or do you love it because Gus is finally done?
No, I love it because of the song.
Okay. Yeah. Just checking.
And I think I've always loved it as well, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. My fun question. I had the most fun when I was in Australia and Sydney at a zoo, seeing just like the most extreme exotic animals, things that, like, you know, you just don't find in the States. You know, that's a chaotic part of Australia, is you have all these very, very wild and dangerous species. So I want to ask you, what cat do you think would be the best, like Steve Irwin type of running a zoo, being like with other animals? Like if we take off the fact that they're a cat, but like they were just in that kind of persona, who's the best Steve Irwin? Who's running the best zoo in Australia?
Oh my gosh. That's an interesting question. I've never thought of something like that. Who would be the best person to run that zoo? I'm going to, as klepto as he is, I'm going to say Mungo Jerry.
Mungo Jerry. Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. It'd be a little like you might have a couple animals disappear though, and it's like, oh, wait, where'd they go?
I feel like he gives that sort of like larrikin vibes, Aussie larrikin vibes that we kind of have here in Australia. Like he's so laid back and whatever. That I feel like he would have that same sort of like Steve Irwin persona as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is very much the like late. Okay, so I was thinking about from a different angle, which was who would keep these animals from killing the guests? And I think that's Skimbleshanks, because I think keep everything absolutely in order. And you've got kind of that, not laid back, but a little bit of the like Uncle Skimble vibes that I think could have some fun there. But I hadn't thought about Mungo Jerry. Would Quaxa be any good at it?
Oh, no. Quaxa's a scaredy cat. He's an absolute scaredy cat.
He's going to go and be afraid to even hold the food for the baby kangaroos.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Most important question, and I don't think I'm going to get Gus as an answer based on the conversation today, but I've argued at length that I don't think Grizabella is the right Jellicle choice. I know you are very deep into your production and having to sell the idea of her being there, but I want you to put that aside and go back to either the 1998 version movie of you or when before you'd really been into this production. Who are you picking if you're old Deuteronomy and why?
Look, I am going to have to disappoint you and pick Grizabella. She deserves it so much. Like, I mean, those cats are absolute assholes to her. And so, like, you know, if you've got asshole cats that want to be assholes to this other cat that has lived this whole life, and she really deserves that redemption. She needs to go back and sort of have that extra life to sort of go, you know what, I've made these wrong choices in my life. And who doesn't want a redemption? Who doesn't want to go, oh, you know what, I did this and this in my life, and maybe this part I'm not a fan of, or I probably could have done that better. I would love that second life. I mean, I think she absolutely deserves it.
All right. So here are my couple follow-up questions. So I get the redemption arc. I get the belonging, connection, community. I get all of it. It's been around for 40 plus years for a reason. If there is a redemption story, why does it involve the next life? Like, why can't she be redeemed and spend time with her family for the year? Like, is she not going to make it? Like, what's the selling point there? Because, like, I love the idea of coming back, but then it's like, okay, great. Great to see you. We've now accepted you. You belong. We've exiled you. You're back. And it's like, and cool, we're going to kill you. Start your next life.
I don't think she's got a family anymore.
So this group
is... As much as the tribe are one big family, or like, I guess, in a way, a chosen family, I don't think she has physical family left.
Okay, that's the best answer I've had to that question.
Yeah.
So I'll take that. Okay, here's my other question is, we only get one ball. What's old Deuteronomy's criteria each year? Does it change each year? Is there another exiled cat coming back next year? Like, what does this look like?
It has to change each year. yeah, it absolutely has to change each year. And I think, you know what, Gus is the next choice for sure.
Was Gus potentially the choice before she came back? Like, was, or did he know she was coming back from the beginning of the night?
Oh, he absolutely knew that she was coming back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gus is next.
I have this theory that he actually invited her back.
And he was bringing her back.
Yeah. He actually invited her back to the tribe, and he wanted to gauge what the other cats thought of her.
And clearly, but does it matter if they gave, like, because I guess she kind of gets shunned in the beginning, so they didn't react well. And then it's finally, and not until memory, that they're like, oh, all right, we'll do this. And at that point is there, what would have happened if they didn't turn for memory? Like, and they don't accept her. Does he just send her back out for the year and send Gus up?
I reckon he probably still would have chosen her.
He's like, you better learn this lesson or I'm going to do it anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Did your cast talk about this question at all?
No. No.
Okay. No. We're going in and just accepting that she's the choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody's pushing back.
No.
I got more work to do. I've got more. My goal is to get this question asked at least. I'm not expecting it to change, but I want a healthy conversation during rehearsals. Any other, you know, in week one, my last question before we sign off here, in week one, how, any other funny, weird, chaotic moments, like anything go completely wrong? Like what's this first week been? Like, has there been anything that you're going to be like, oh my God, I'm never going to forget this?
You know what? So, we opened last weekend, with a preview matinee performance on Saturday. And then I had a Saturday night opening with fantastic audience, and then went straight in on Sunday with matinee and late afternoon performance. And our late afternoon performance, look, we were all tired, I think we were tired, the crew were tired, because we'd just come from doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night rehearsals for 10. Had Friday night off, was our only night off, and then we sort of went straight into the show. So that Sunday final performance last week, there were some issues. went to start my solo in Act One, I could not hear my voice in the auditorium, and was like, okay, I've got to sing out now. My microphone's gone somehow. As I walked backstage, they were trying to find my microphone, and it turned out the boom of my mic had actually disconnected from it and had fallen into my costume. So that was one thing. We had another person's microphone completely sweat out, so they had to get a handheld mic. Our pyrotechnics failed, didn't go off, Grisabella did not fly into the heavy side layer and instead stood there and then sort of turned around and crawled out through the back of the stage.
Yeah. I've heard that happens more often, I think, than people realize, is that the Grisabella is ascending to the heavy side layer, is like, or she just walks off stage. I think it's fun.
Nobody knew what to do. It was quite hilarious.
I think that's some of my most memorable theater moments, is when it's like, there is the, this is not what's supposed to happen,
No. But
how do they handle it? And, you know, like, that's what makes live theater great. Like, I think it's fun when it's like real. So that's so fun to hear. How can people stay in touch with you on social media and see whatever shows you're going to do next and other things you're working on, or maybe what you're going to do choreography for?
Yeah, absolutely. So my Instagram, you can find me at DancerSam91 on Instagram. That's where I post anything that I do show-wise. Also, you can find me on Facebook as well, Dancer Sam, or Sam Lariel Choreographer as well. So yeah, I do, whenever I'm in a show, I'll mainly post onto my Instagram page and stories a lot. I try to. I'm really not great at the social media sort of stuff, and they're trying to encourage us to do like reels and TikToks and everything. And last night I filmed a time lapse of my makeup, so I'm gonna get to editing that this morning before I head off to our matinee show today.
Love it. Yeah. If you, I will tell you, there's a lot of, it's hard because it's like, you, it's exhausting, but the pre, as just dressed up as a human, transition videos to dressed up as a cat with dances and stuff do very well, because it is a stark difference. So this is my, while you're going to be doing that, you're already going to be getting into costume. You've remembered to film a couple of them, and you can roll them out there later. Same as drafts.
It's hilarious watching them. One of the guys in my dressing room, he absolutely loves doing reels. So he's doing all like the transition videos, and it's so funny watching him. Like, he's sitting there in front of his camera on his phone, and he's like pushing his hand up to the camera and doing it like multiple times. And I was looking at him the first time he was doing it. I was like, what is he doing?
It looks so silly while you're doing it. But then the final product usually looks amazing. So it's like, you just, the behind the scenes stuff is not of the content creation is not, it's behind the scenes for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this has been so fun. It's been great to hear about your production. And hear about your experience doing it. And I hope you get another Jellicle Life and a future production as well. And you get to maybe be Monkus Trap, or I don't want you to be Gus, because I think you're going to fall asleep on stage if you ever have to do it. But I hope there's more cats in your future.
Thank you very much.
This has been awesome. So thank you. And thanks for everyone else for listening to this episode of The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown, the catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads at The Wrong Cat Died, or check our website, thewrongcatdied.com.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There is enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.